Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson.
TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
There'll be days when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
We are jamming out here. We are live right now here at AfterBuzz, bringing you the Supernatural After Show. It is season 10, episode 14, The Executioner's Song. My name is Lindsay Wagner. You guys can find me on Twitter at Lindsay Wagner. And tonight I am joined by Katie Campbell. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Hello, hello. You can find me on Twitter at Katie E. Campbell. That's Katie with three E's, Campbell.
Unfortunately, we are missing Michaela tonight. She's got family stuff. And Tom is working, so it's just Katie and I today. We are going to talk all about Supernatural. But first, make sure that you guys are finding us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube at AfterBuzz TV. If you're on iTunes, make sure that you're rating us 5 stars and all the other AfterBuzz TV shows 5 stars. Check us out. Leave comments, concerns, questions, notes about what you liked about the show, what you didn't like, what you think of Katie's lovely orange top, my curly hair today. We want to hear everything that you guys have to ask us or question or comment about our shows and everything else. And we love talking to you guys. So check us out on all those places. But yes, Let's jump into this crazy episode and the return of hashtag the three C's.
The three C's.
Oh, Katie, what did you think about this episode?
I was at a high stress level the entire time. Oh my gosh, especially with that fight we'll get into in the end with Kane and Dean, but it was an intense episode.
It was an intense episode. I have 3 pages of notes. there was no stopping the note taking. There was so much going on.
Yeah.
And we knew it was going to be a big episode considering we knew there was the return of Kane, Cass, and Crowley.
Yes.
But high tension, definitely high tension.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I think I'm still at that tension point. I feel a little stressed out right now.
Yeah, a little bit on edge. Still, we're not sure. We're hoping Dean is okay.
Yes.
We're just worried about you, Dean. Really, really worried about you. We start off the episode in a prison in Texas where Tommy Tolliver is taunting one of the guards and talking about how he'd kill his wife, the guard's wife, very, very slowly. We find out that he's in there. He's on death row for murdering 6 people, but it was actually more than that. Probably closer to 9.
Yeah, the state only knew about the 6.
The 6. And those are what they're convicting him of. And he is supposed to be on death row and getting killed in 2 weeks. So we see all of a sudden some electricity stuff happening. And we know it's got to be the return of somebody big. And, of course, it's Kane. And he ends up in the cell with him.
Yes.
And he says he's here to punish him and save him all at the same time. Initial thoughts on the return of Kane in this situation?
I just was confused, and I didn't expect him to, you know, let the mark basically take control over him again, and he was going down this path again. I did not expect that at all.
No, I didn't think that this would be the reason of the return of Kane. I thought it would be something to help both Sam and Dean not to continue a mass, basically a genocide,
right,
is what it comes down to, what he's doing. He's on this, he's got a list of people.
Which is basically his entire bloodline.
Lineage.
Yeah, lineage. Which is a lot of people. He was saying, he told Cass that it's like 1 in 10 people, but of everyone. Including kids.
Including kids, because, so this genocide is to kill any of his descendants that have the potential to murder, and to have this feeling, which he's killing these murderers, he's killing this guy on death row, he ends up killing him, and killing his entire family. because his dad, apparently, the guy, Tommy's dad, also killed people. And it's a potential possibility that his son, Austin, that we find out that he has a son, even though he's estranged from, obviously, from his father, find out that his son could potentially be killing people, too.
Which is kind of a deranged thought process, I think, because it doesn't necessarily mean that these people are going to be murderers and killers, but he said that he's trying to take out this, like, they could have a disease of killing people and having this, you know, bad side to them. So he's just taking it out. It's his good on the world that he's doing from the mistake that he originally made with Lucifer and that caused that chain reaction of killing his brother.
I mean, I get the whole, I want to kill people that could potentially hurt somebody else and save the world from these murderers. But there's, like we said, there's an off chance that they won't murder. They'll be completely normal person making life happy for billions of people around them, potentially. So we don't know. At the same time, it's kind of like if you knew that people were bad and you kill all the bad people in the world, like, and it's not in your hands to do so. To me, you leave that up to the higher power.
Yeah.
But it's almost kind of, like, brave to do that.
I don't know. I think he just lost it, though.
Oh, of course he lost it.
Yeah.
But I almost... It's kind of brave to go out there and say, I'm going to get rid of everybody that could potentially hurt somebody. I mean, he... Once again, he shouldn't be taking that power into his hands. But, I mean, it's kind of a cool... I don't know. It's not cool, but it is. I'm still thrown off by this, guys. You can be really mad at me for saying that. I'm still, like, in awe and wonder of how this whole thing just took place because it was way too crazy.
Yeah. I think he just lost it. I think that he shouldn't have been killing all the people just in case they... He said himself they could turn out good, but he's not going to take the chance.
Oh, my God. But what if they kill? But what if that person would have killed 10 more people that were all innocent? And you kill him first so that he can't kill 10 more innocent people.
It's true, but a 12-year-old...
I think he should just go after the people that are murderers, not like... I mean, go after the guy and his dad, but don't go after the kid, or don't go after the sister.
Well, with the dad, he only had not necessarily he didn't kill anybody, but he had a record of being in trouble with the law.
Craziness. So that's our first scene of Kane, and then we get to Sam and Dean, who are heading to the prison to find out details, and they figure out and recognize that it's Kane right away, and know that they need to find out where he is. So we then see the return of Cass, who's talking to a demon and torturing this demon to find out information about Kane. What did you think about that?
I knew he was going to kill him. Like, as soon as he asked him the question, is this all you know? And he saw it in his eyes that it really was. That's all he knew about Kane. I knew he was going to kill him. Did you think he was?
I kind of think, but why kill him?
Because he's a demon and he's not good.
And that's, I mean, that's... That's a simple answer, and it's the truth.
Yeah.
It is. He got what he needed from him. Obviously, it led him to Kane, which we see a little bit later on.
It led him to the burial site.
The burial site where all the graves are, which Kane obviously comes and tells him that he has this list of people. Cass isn't on it. He's not going to kill Cass. He's not on it, but...
Which I thought was really funny because I believed him when he said, you know, you're not on my list, so I'm not going to kill you. But later when he told Dean that he didn't kill him because he knew that Dean would come... It would basically set a chain reaction to the Winchester brothers coming and Dean coming and trying to kill Kane and having the blade and bringing the blade back. And it's just like, wow, he's so smart.
He had it all planned and plotted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Crazy. So then we see the return of Crowley. All this is happening in like the first 15 minutes of the episode. It was just overdrive.
Crowley is my favorite.
He's so fun and just relishes in his evil role. And I just love it.
It's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. And it's really like his personality. I mean, when you had the, got to interview him, I mean, and he just was a treat.
Yeah, definitely. From the moment he walked into the room, he was fun.
And scared the crap out of me when he walked into the room. So we get Crowley returning, and a crossroads demon is looking for kind of appreciation and equal credit for the things that he's been doing. And Crowley says he's going to grant him this. Well, we get the two cents from Rowena. Which she's sitting there saying, I think that you should cut him in half, and then...
Literally in half.
In half. Make him equal parts so that he gets equal credit, so he's two parts. And then have to know that anybody who comes and wastes the king's time, this is what's going to happen to you.
Which is, I think, is a really good power move, in a sense of, like, doing that to a demon in hell. I don't think that somebody should be cut in half in real life, but I think it's a good power move from her standpoint, but I just didn't want him to do it, because I think that that's kind of allowing Rowena to manipulate him, which we do see them address later on, but I just didn't want him to give in to her like that.
She made such a good point, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knew that, so that's why he had to give in.
Right.
Because at first I thought he wasn't going to agree with her, but he totally agreed with her and made it happen. And she feels like little victory points.
And sometimes I get scared that she's going to pull one over on him, but I think that we keep seeing these scenes with Crowley that he is actually very smart, and he knows she's manipulating him. So, yeah, he did let her have that one, but I think he's smarter, and I want to keep remembering that, and I don't want her to pull one over on him.
Crowley's not going to do something that he wouldn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, no one's going to tell him what to do. He's going to make up his own mind. So, while it was her idea and it was a good idea, he wasn't not going to do it because it wasn't a good idea. He did it because he knew that was the right thing to do
right.
in the situation, even
right.
if the idea wasn't his own.
That's true.
So we see, she said, and I loved her little comment about how she's like, you were such a whiny little kid about candy, and I never gave in to you, even though you cried all the time. And he's like sitting there. She's like, well, you were like a little sausage.
Yeah, and she said that he was a bloater.
I can't even. I like their relationship.
I do like it, but it also makes me very nervous.
It makes me nervous because I don't want her to mm-hmm. manipulate him too much and have her take over.
Yeah.
But I just, it's such a fun, different way to see him acting.
Right.
Around her.
Right.
Yeah, that was really, really, really cute. All right. So let's get back to Cain and the graves, and Cain telling Cass that he has a taste. He's got the taste back. He wants to kill. He's coming back. Knows that Dean took Abaddon down, and there is no cure, and he'll get to him soon enough.
Yeah, so he's basically going after Dean, because Dean is on that list of not a good person. So eventually, he was going to get to him.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry, guys. We're kind of jumping around here a little bit. Get back to Crowley and Rowena. And Rowena wants to take down the head of the coven, Olivet.
Yes.
And they do have this moment where they're talking about Crowley knows that she's manipulating him, and he's aware of it. How did you feel about that?
I mean, I was very happy that he's realizing it. And I thought, you know, I really want to see this Olivet story. Like, I want to see that unfold. I want to see them go to the Grand Coven and, you know, figure this out. I do think I thought it was interesting that he pointed out to her. He's like, you ask for a favor right after you did something good. Like, try not to be as transparent. So I'm still okay with the whole Crowley-Rowena thing, because I think he has the reins still. But I don't know. She's going to pull one over on him.
She definitely, at some point, I feel like she's going to get an upper hand in the situation. And maybe it's going to be coming soon now that we saw her departure at the end of this episode. But I thought, like she had said, we have fun together. So I thought that he was going to definitely go and help her with this.
And he was.
He was on the way to do it till he gets the phone call from Dean.
Something much more important for the time being.
Yeah. So Dean and Sam and Cass decide to track down this Austin kid, the son of Tommy, mm-hmm. to find Cain. And he knows that after he's killed Abaddon, he's going to have to put Cain down.
You know what's very interesting, too, about them going to save the kid? Dean was all for it. He's like, let's go save this kid. And Cass and Sam both were hesitant. I thought that was kind of strange. I mean, I get it.
Because why do you think he was gung-ho to do it?
I mean,
was it because he wanted to save?
I think so. I truly think so. I think he wanted to, you know, save this kid and go on another job, you know, hunt, so to speak. And Cass and Sam are obviously very scared about what this could do to Dean with the Mark of Cain. So they were very hesitant about it. But it was a little boy's life in stake. You know,
it was an innocent person at stake.
Yeah.
So I think it was necessary for them to go after her. And I mean, even they said, like, we have to use this kid as bait. Like, that's not what they wanted to do, but they knew that they would have to in order to get to Kane.
Yeah, and Sam said that win or lose, you may not come back from this fight, which scares me.
I had no idea what to think. I mean, we obviously know they're the two main characters, so Dean's not really going to be dead, even if Kane would have had to have killed him. He wouldn't really be dead.
Right.
But it was, oh yeah, my heart. So we see that Rowena and Crowley are going to use this rune of Amaranth to do some illusion work, and that's when he gets the phone call from Dean saying that Crowley is on Kane's list, as he gives a little eyebrow raise to the guys.
So I knew it wasn't.
So we knew right away, but he wasn't on the list. Mm-hmm. But that's how they knew they'd be able to get him to bring the blade. And that Crowley had said, this is a threat. He's a threat to the Winchesters and to me. So right. We do need to take care of his problem. And basically ditches Rowena, who is very, very upset with him.
Yeah, she doesn't like that he runs to the Winchester brothers like that.
I mean, and I understand her place, knowing that he could get screwed by them, that they're not, they don't really care about Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
Not really BFFs. It's dangerous for the King of Hell to be running around with the Hunters.
Yeah, with Dean having the first blade.
And I know for her it's just a power struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just on it. All right, so we get Cass, Dean, Sam in Ohio. Getting Austin, using him as bait. Crowley shows up, says that he's not going to give Dean the blade till Kane is there.
Which I think is a smart move.
Absolutely. Great, great move to do.
Because they had no idea what he was going to do with the blade in his hand. He hasn't had it since he was killing people. So I think it was a very smart move. And I loved seeing the four of them in the same scene.
Oh, God. Even in the dark and, like, the, like, just the, like, glow of the, like, moon or whatever illuminating them. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited they're all together.
Yeah.
Something's going to go down. It's not very often that we do get to see all four of them together.
Yeah.
In a scene, which has to be fun for them. And then we get some amazing Jensen Ackles acting.
I thought this was a very sweet moment of the episode. He's scared.
He didn't realize the time would be now.
Yeah, he said he was, you know, he's okay. He's going to go down, you know, swinging. He's not just going to let it eat him alive, basically. He's going to fight, but he didn't think that this would be happening so soon, and he's really scared. And I thought, like you said, it was great acting, but it was just such a beautiful moment between the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam is just on his, you know, by his side, trying to help him.
Any way possible.
Mm-hmm.
And maintain composure and strength and trust in Dean, that Dean is not going to go crazy with the mark and the blade all in one.
Yes.
So we get the arrival of Kane, who's going to kill Austin. Cass's powers are useless against him.
He's so strong. He throws him around.
Yeah, just the powers that he has in himself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that they were that strong. I mean, I thought that they'd be strong with the blade, but not without. I mean, he's got magic powers.
Yeah, and when Austin first saw him, he said, what are you doing here? I got the sense that he knew who Kane was.
Yeah, but we also know that it was the Crowley helped them use the illusion spell.
Right.
With Austin. So when Austin says, please don't kill me, Kane kills him, and he goes up in a puff of dust, and we know that Austin has safely been stowed away, and, you know, he's fine.
Yeah, that scared me, though.
I was like, he just killed him like that. Like, no, just like, all right, yep, sorry, you're done, bye.
My first thought was like, does that happen to all of them? Do they all turn into a puff of purple smoke?
At first, because I thought that, yeah, they were just killed, but no, yeah. It was just because it was the spell, which Kane called him on and said, oh, you guys did the spell.
And Crowley got that from Rowena, which mm-hmm. I thought was very interesting.
Good. I mean, and he should have kind of went back and told her about that. I used one of your spells. Like, you should be proud of me. But he didn't.
Yeah.
So they trap Kane in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam wants to go in alone. What do you think? Or Dean. I'm sorry. Dean wants You're to fine. Go in alone. Do you think that's smart on Dean's part? Or do you think that he should have had everybody in there with him?
I think it's smart because Kane's dangerous, and Dean can be very powerful and strong with the first blade and the mark of Kane. But I was very nervous. And they were all standing outside talking about how, you know, it's okay. Dean said, you know, take out whatever comes out of this, you know, barn, basically, because if he comes out evil, he wants them to take him out mm-hmm. for the greater good, which scared me. But I was stressing out when they were all standing out there having the powwow, because Kane said, you know, this won't hold me for long. So I was like, Dean, you need to get in there ASAP. You mm-hmm. need to stop talking about it. Just go in there and get it done.
Do you think having everybody in the room would have potentially swayed Dean from killing him?
It could have. I mean, Dean, we saw that he didn't really want to even do it. And I think having his brother in there and Cass in there, it could have weighed on him. And he might not have wanted to do it even more.
I mean, it was a battle between Kane and Dean, but not like... It was almost more of a word battle. I mean, obviously, there was some throwing around and there were punches thrown and it was, you know, violent. But there was a lot more important words that were being said.
I agree.
Then there was an actual really, really, truly crazy fight sequence.
I agree. And Kane even said there's no resisting the mark. There's only remission and relapse.
Oh.
The three R's.
Yeah. Man, it was a good fight in just the way that they were able to play it, and seeing Dean feeling so remorseful and tortured by this decision, knowing he's going to have to kill him, and he doesn't want to have to do it. And basically, like Kane said, he's like, I'm extinguishing all my descendants that are murderers. I need to get this job done. And it's just, he had to do it. So Dean had asked Kane if he's going to have to kill him. And Kane gets the blade from Dean.
Mm-hmm.
He steals it.
I thought it was...
What did you think? What did you think was going to happen?
I honestly had no idea. Like you said, Dean can't really be dead. I mean, but something could have happened.
Yeah.
It's supernatural.
He got killed and turned into a demon last year, so...
Exactly. So I really didn't know what to expect. I had a lot of tension rising throughout. But I thought it was really interesting when Kane said, you're living my life in reverse.
Mind blown. Like, crazy.
I hope that the end of this series is not Dean killing Sam.
I'm telling you, I think that's what I've been predicting since last year.
Yeah.
That it's going to end, that Dean is going to have to kill Sam, and Dean's going to go end up being in hell, and Sam's going to be up in heaven with Cass. I feel like that's what's going to happen. And if that's truly the case, I mean, this is what Kane said. He's like, you're going to kill Crowley. You're not really going to feel bad about it. You will feel some sort of frustration and anger from having to kill Cass, and then you will have to kill Sam.
And you won't be able to live with yourself.
No.
And that's in what's going to happen, how Kane couldn't live with himself ultimately and just started killing a bunch of other people back in the day with the whole Abel story. So Dean would go on that path.
Oh, my gosh. It's so... so crazy. I can't... I mean, if that's what is going to happen, it's going to be hell of a way to see this series.
And I love how Dean is such a smart fighter, though. He pulls the blade out of Kane and cuts his hand off at the last second.
Stops him from killing him,
yeah.
Basically. They, I mean, they're having this talk, and they've both been beaten up a little bit, and he cuts his hand off and asks him if he'll stop, if this will stop him from killing... or if he's really going to have to kill him. And Kane says, you're going to have to kill me.
I mean, he just basically surrendered at that point, and then mm-hmm. and Dean did it. Oh, I'm so scared for what's going to happen
so
to Dean.
It's so hard for him to do it. That's what I think we've all been not sure of what's going to happen, especially with this mark of Kane and the blade being together. And we know that he's got this thirst. Mm-hmm. So we didn't know how if this would be easy for him, if he'd be like... doing the multiple stabbing thing, mm-hmm. but he really has been able to control it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was difficult. We saw him really struggling with this decision.
Right.
And once again, just great acting from Jensen. Just really, really just honest, raw, beautiful acting on his part.
Yeah. And I was actually kind of scared when he walked out with the blade, not saying anything, and he was getting closer to Crowley, closer to Crowley. All I kept thinking was Kane's words of, you're going to kill Crowley. And that can't happen right now, but...
But it would have been so cool if he had killed Crowley right there. Like, Wow. I'm glad that he didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't know if he'd be able to hand the blade over or not. I really... What did you think? Did you think he was going to hand the blade over?
I... I was scared he was going to keep it, honestly. But I was surprised that he gave it to Cass. I mean, I guess I get it because Crowley is the king of hell and they don't really want him holding that over their heads. But we just need that blade away anyway. So whoever's going to hide it. Take it.
And I think that's why, because give it to Cass so that they know they can trust somebody to have it and know they can get to it if they need to.
Right.
Without having to call Crowley.
Right.
But now you've created tension and bad blood between you and Crowley where you kind of had him a little bit on your side, but like he could be an ally in certain situations. And now they.
Yeah, he lied to him twice.
He called them on. He goes, "You've lied to me." And they said, "Not the first time today." It was. So he was pissed and he disappears.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What did you think of Crowley and Rowena's conversation? She's got her bags packed. She's ready to go.
Honestly, though, she made a few valid points. I think because Crowley is kind of manipulated by the brothers. I like the alliance that he has with the brothers, though. So
I do, too.
I don't want it to stop and I don't want it to end. But I think that her saying those words to him is going to get into his brain and he's going to become kind of stronger and mentally stronger against the brothers.
Oh, I think he's going to be persuaded by his mother's words to maybe not help out the Winchesters for the next couple times that they call on him. Maybe not be around or not help out or create some havoc.
Yeah.
For them. Wreck a little havoc for them. And I don't know. It could be bad. I mean, she made some valid points.
Mm-hmm.
She has a point. And I agree with you. I want to see the story play out between her and Olivet and the Grand Coven. I want to see a back flashback to
what actually happened.
And I feel like they will team up. He's going to go and help her. That's how he's going to win her back. Because she's like, I was so proud to hear what you were, and now I'm seeing you. And she's like, it's basically, she's ashamed and embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
By his inability to really be really ruling hell and the king of hell.
She called him a colossal numbskull.
What if your parents said that?
I think that...
It's so horrible.
They haven't had a relationship for so long that it's like, it's not that devastating to him, but it'll be more of a thinker to him. That he's going to actually take these words into account.
Into account and really not want to help the Winchesters and know that they're like using him. And especially being played like he was today.
Yeah.
He got played. They took the blade. He doesn't have it anymore. He doesn't have that power over them anymore.
Yeah.
So he's got to do something crazy right now to like get back and show his strength and his being the king of hell to them. So they understand that his fear, his wrath still. Because I don't think they're really fearing it at this point.
Right.
Final scene. Sam and Dean talking. Dean says that he wants to sleep for 4 days. He's exhausted. He feels good though. And Cass is now hidden the blade, and Sam says he's worried about Dean and that he's in trouble.
Were you worried about Dean after that scene? I mean, until we saw him actually walk away and give that weird little look, what were you thinking up until that point?
I mean, I feel better about him seeing how he reacted with the blade killing Cain, that this was difficult for him. So it doesn't make me worry about him, but then at the same time, it makes me question... Something big's going to happen.
Right.
There's going to be a switch. We're not going to know when it's going to happen. It's just going to all of a sudden hit again. And I think he's going to be in major trouble. Yeah. I don't know what the trouble is, but, I mean, what do you think?
At first, I was thinking that he was okay, and Sam was like, oh, there was hope based on how you handled that situation and the fact that you gave the blade, to Cass to go hide. I really did think that there was a little hope. I was nervous, obviously, during the fight and right after what he was going to do, but because of his actions, I was excited for the fact that he controlled himself. But as soon as he got up to leave, to go to sleep, the little look that he gave, I just don't even know what to expect. I'm really scared.
It wasn't some evil look. It wasn't like this mischievous look. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. And now we've got to wait how many weeks? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? No.
I think it's like three weeks.
3 or 4 weeks. Yeah, it's a month away.
Why
darn you, Supernatural. Darn you for making us wait. All right, let's jump into some predictions then.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV
predictions. All right, so we get the return of Supernatural on March 18th. It's moving to Wednesdays mm-hmm. now. So we're literally a month away from the return. They always usually take some sort of break in the spring. So we've got
these
a month.
Breaks kill me.
They kill me, too, because I just want to know what's going to happen. Now we got to sit and wait. Mm-hmm. We see the return of Metatron. Mm-hmm. What do you predict we're going to be seeing in the next few episodes come March?
I think we're going to be seeing more of the Coven, which I'm excited about. We better see it. I need to see it. And I think we're going to see Crowley, like you said, making a power move because these words are going to affect him. And I also do think that something's going to happen with Dean and we're not going to like it.
I think we're going to have a couple weeks of Dean being normal. And then, like, yeah, it's just going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam and Cass are going to be trying to get to the bottom of what's really going on and dig a little deeper into the situation. And I think Sam's going to try, or Dean's going to try and continue doing, you know, finding a case or something to work on to keep himself busy. But we're all, it's all of a sudden something's going to hit him and it's going to be a switch is going to be flipped. And we're either going to have these feelings of Cain or...
I'm a little panicked. I don't know how they can fix the situation. You know, they were looking to Cain for some answers. That didn't work out. And we haven't had a story where somebody has, where it's ended in a good way because mm-hmm. we see what happened with Cain. So I don't know. They can't find anything. They're always hitting walls with finding these cures. I don't know if he can pass it on to somebody or what the true cure is to this.
If he cuts his arm off, is that a cure?
I don't know. Could it be still pulsing through his body?
But the actual mark is no longer attached to him. I mean, could he cut his skin off? I'm getting really weird, guys. Let me know what
like
you think about
removing a tattoo.
Yeah. Let me know what you guys think of this. Comment on our YouTube or iTunes and or tweet us and let us know what you think. Is it possible that Dean could cut his arm off or somehow get rid of his mark in some sort of way to stop the mark of Cain, if that would actually stop it, or if it would magically move itself? I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Let me know what you guys think. I want to know. We need lots of ideas here because we got to figure out something's going to happen. And
yes, tweet us with the hashtag ABTV Supernatural.
Yeah, ABTV Supernatural. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah, anything that you want to talk about Supernatural-wise, just hashtag it ABTV Supernatural. Then we can get all your questions all in one place at one time. Makes it easier for us.
Yeah.
Do you have any other predictions at all?
No, I'm just very excited for it to come back. Can't believe I have to wait a month.
Have to wait a month. So you guys are not going to see us for a month. We're going to miss you. We're going to miss the show.
So we have to tweet and comment. We'd love to talk to you guys
about it. We've got a lot to talk about for the next month. We've got lots of conspiracy theories to figure out for the next month. So make sure that you guys are finding us on SoundCloud, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV, or iTunes, hashtagging ABTV Supernatural with all your questions and concerns and everything. Let us know what you're thinking. Katie, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Katie E. Campbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell, and Instagram at KatieCampbell13.
And you guys can find me in all things social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Lindsay Wegner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER. And we will see you in 1 month. Coming March 18th. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.